With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's matches in the league with Redshift Radio's very own Johnny Crowther. And we'll be catching up with the MPL Facebook group's also very own James Hayes for a review of last weekend's matches. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So, welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick Extra. Very shortly, we'll be hearing from James Hayes on last weekend's matches in the Premier Division, and we'll be speaking to Redshift Radio's very own Johnny Crowther later on in the show for a fixture preview. But the Premier Division is a bit small time, I feel, this weekend. There's only one show in town. It's the biggest match of the season thus far, and it's not even in the Premier Division. It's in Division 1 North. It's this one here. It's Warrington Town against Northwich Victoria. It's huge. You could probably see it from space. And to discuss just how significant this match is, we're now joined by the senior sports writer from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. It's Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Did I overstate that?
I don't think so. I think this is the biggest game of the season so far in Division 1 North. I think Sean Reid agrees with me as well. I think the noises coming from Warrington are that they know how significant the result of this game could be. Vicks perhaps less so, but that's understandable because they've got that cushion of the games in hand. However, they absolutely will not want to lose to their direct rivals for the title. So I think it's set up to be definitely the game of the season so far.
So just to let everyone know at home, for those who don't look at the Division 1 North table, Warrington Town currently 3 points clear. They've played four games more than Northwich Victoria. You can always have, do you want points on the board or games in hand, that kind of discussion. Form going into this, if we exclude Farnsley Celtic, who are just silly at the moment with their wins, Warrington Town, second most informed team in the league. Northwich Victoria, the third most informed team. I don't think they've lost a game. Neither have lost a game, have they, for ages?
For ages. I mean, I was having a look before I come on and obviously getting ready for tomorrow. I've been doing a little bit of homework. And virtually on every single metric, every single measure you want to try and kind of analyse these two teams, they just cannot be separated. The only way they can, of course, is that slight difference in games played. But in terms of goals, they don't let any goals in. The form of the players, the form of the team, they cannot be separated on almost any measure you want. Which obviously that sets it up to be even more mouthwatering and makes it difficult for people like us to predict, I suppose. But yeah, they are the two form teams. They've got that cushion over everybody else. It looks and it's shaping up to be that they are the two outstanding teams in the division this year. I don't think, as I said on last month's. Northern Premier League show, I don't think anyone's going to catch them. So it is going to be between these two for the title.
And what's the mood what's the mood in Warrington's camp? You spoke to them this morning. What's their feeling?
They know it's a big game. Sean Reid, in an interview with our sister paper in Warrington this week, has not played that down. He said it's the biggest match that this team has played since they knocked Exeter out of the FA Cup. And he even went as far as to say that it's a more important game than that. That was a big occasion, obviously, for the club. But this is a more important game in kind of their long-term history, their long-term planning. They've had this stated aim for some time that they want to get out of this division. If they do get out of this division, they'll reach the highest level the club's ever played at. So it's drips of significance for them. And he's not been afraid to say that, that's fine. We know it's a big game. We're not going to shy away from that. And they've been pretty bullish. Yes, we did ask him what's more important, points on the board or games in hand. Unsurprisingly, he said, well, we're happier. We've got the points safe. He's got to say that, hasn't he? Because they are ahead on games of Northwich. And Warrington going to the game in fantastic form. I had a little look. They've probably got the form player in the league in Kieran Killeen, who's scored in each of his past five games. So he's the man that Vicks need to keep an eye on tomorrow, because he's the one that's in red hot form. So yeah, they're bullish. I think they fancy their chances, and I think, and I said this again last month, I think they have to win this game, really. I think they've got less margin for error than Norwich, and I think they have to win tomorrow to put some real pressure on Vicks probably for the first time this season. So they, you know, those 3 points, yes, will be important, but actually it'd be the first time maybe someone will ask some questions and we'll see a little bit of a different side to Vicks, how they respond to that. I think if Northwich get the 3 points tomorrow, I think, you know, Warrington have got it all to do then, because they have so much less margin for error now in the games they've got left.
And how's Jim Gannon feeling about this? What's the mood like at Vicks?
Yeah, Jim Gannon, again, probably you won't be surprised, a little bit more reluctant to get involved in kind of the mind games with Sean Reid. I think, to be fair, he's quietly confident anyway. Also, he knows they've got the insurance policy of the games in hand. So even if on the field they lose tomorrow, they can put it right by winning those games in hand. I think there could be a psychological challenge if they do lose, and kind of how do they respond to that. I think there's a few more question marks hanging over Northwich going into the game, because they've lost another player since we last spoke, lost Ryan Assels, a towering central defender, to Chester, who's moved up the pyramid like Jordan Williams did earlier. But I mean, we said, can they manage without Jordan Williams? Well, the two games he's not been there, they've picked up 6 points, so the evidence would seem to be, yeah, they're okay. But Assels has gone as well, so we're going to have to find out how they adjust to having one of their key defenders out. So there's a slight question mark there. Like I said, they're going in against the informed forward in the division. How are they going to cope with that? That said, Jim's calm. He's going to have prepared them thoroughly. He's watched Warrington a number of times in the past few weeks. He watched them at Christmas when they played at Witton Albion, and I think he was there last week to see them beat Ossett. So as usual, he will have left no stone unturned in the preparation for the game. And I think, like Reid, I think he backs his players. I think he's quietly confident.
And lastly on this match, obviously it's January, there's been a bit of a frost here in the west side of the Pennines. You spoke to Warrington this morning, the pitch is fine, it just can't handle a big major frost. So
yeah, that's the concern. I mean, temperatures have dropped significantly. I'm in Northwich as I speak, there was a frost this morning. If there's a repeat of that, there might be an issue. I don't think there's an issue at the moment in terms of water on the playing surface. Obviously, lots of other clubs are battling waterlogged pitches, but they didn't seem too concerned about that. The bigger concern is if the temperatures drop significantly. Let's hope that doesn't happen. We want to see these two go head-to-head, and let's see who strikes the first blow, if you like, because they're going to be a round two. They've not played each other yet. Mm-hmm. Let's see who strikes the first blow in this race for the title.
And where can people keep abreast of all the action as it's happening in Warrington tomorrow?
I will be there, so you can follow my updates on Twitter at @Simo_on_sport, and let's get it on.
Indeed. Andrew Simpson, senior sports writer at the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
No worries, speak to you soon, mate.
And just before we move on to matters in the Premier Division, we've had some correspondence in about this Warrington-Northwich-Vicks match. Alan Alcock has been in touch to say Warrington Town versus Northwich Victoria is the big one, a game which Warrington cannot afford to lose. Actually, he's put a question mark on that. A game which Warrington cannot afford to lose? Lloyd Berry's been in touch to say big one versus Northwich, must win, should be a great game. And Ryan James Bedard, Warrington versus Northwich, game of the weekend, come on the wires. While Phil Harrison, from a Northwich perspective, has been in touch to say mighty Northwich Victoria at Warrington should be a great game after Sean Reid's recent attempts at mind games. He puts in brackets Q Keegan. I'll tell you honestly, I will love it if we beat them, love it. Probably a draw, though. Thank you. So, for a look now at last weekend's results in the league and a bit of cup action as well, we're now joined by, it's like a dear old friend, a bit like the snow. It's James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
I'm not too bad. We're pre-recording this on Wednesday evening, and I've already assumed there's going to be snow when this actually airs. If there's no snow, then that link, that segue there doesn't make any sense. But I think it will snow this weekend.
It's on its way. It's trying in the middle of Staley Bridge at this moment in time. Okay, so right. You never know.
Anyway, it's now time to draw our eyes to last weekend's matches and what happened in the league. There was a few postponements for obvious reasons. It's chucking it down at the moment in various parts of the country. But a few games did go ahead. Blyth Spartans are still out in front at the top of the league, and they've done that by beating last weekend Hales Owen away from home A Robbie Dale penalty on 66 minutes. It was Hales Owen Town 0, Blyth Spartans 1. A very good result, that, for Blyth Spartans.
Indeed. So, and now they're the formed team in the league at this moment in time as well. So coming into the, well, Blyth Spartans, we can expect, if there's snow, one of the teams aren't going to get majorly affected. But, well, you never know with what the league's done this very, very smartly today and yes. started to reverse some of the fixtures. To note, they pretty much guarantee that they're going to be off anyway. So all credit to the league for that one. But before we continue, very good win and great way to try and keep that pressure up on the Salfords and the Nantwich Town.
So Blyth Spartans are now 4 points clear of Salford City, but Salford City are now in second place and have a game in hand. They've done that this week by beating Skelmersdale United 4-0 at Moor Lane in front of a crowd of 660 fans there. A couple of goals for John Johnston in that one as well. A good win that for Salford City at Moor Lane. It now appears that the home form is coming in line now with the away form for Salford, and it's going to be a good tussle up at the top now for the next few months.
Yeah, again, at the start of the season, their home form was just abysmal. The only thing that was keeping them top of the table was what they were doing away from home. But now they're unbeaten in five, and I think all the games have been, rather than seeing them as draws and losses, the last four have all been wins now. So naturally, they're getting that form together, look, pushing forward, becoming the scoring team at this moment in time. 15 goals in the last three games as well, including that unexpected one against Barwell a couple of weeks ago.
Now, very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Johnny Crowther at Redshift Radio, who obviously covers Nantwich Town home and away. It's not been a good week for Nantwich Town. They went to Rush Olympic. Rush Olympic have slowly been turning into a bit of a form side in the league of late, and it proved the case on Saturday. Rush Olympic 1, Nantwich Town 0, in front of 236 supporters. Alex Reid getting the winner on the 36th minute there. Nantwich Town now slipping back, it would appear, that they're currently third, but they played three games more than Blyth Spartans, four games more than Salford City. It's proving a tall order now, I think, for Nantwich.
It is. This is where we were saying about Michelover last week, about the number of games they've played. It's now working against them. Nantwich, because they've lost the last three games, they've lost all the last three games now, slipping away. I think everyone was waiting for that point, seeing can they keep it up, can they keep it up. The goal scoring form at the start of the season, we might have said yes, they can, but now it's looking more and more likely, especially again with number of games in hand. Looking at Darlington, who've got seven games on hand.
You said about the chasing pack there catching up. Ashton United is certainly one of those teams. They've had a bit of a mixed bag this week. We did say last week that match against Workington was possibly match of the weekend on Saturday. It proved the case, really. It was a cracking game. Workington 5, Ashton United 2, a hat-trick there for Conor Tinian, and two goals from Scott Allison as well, 441 supporters there. A bit of a bad result that for Ashton United, but then they bounce back midweek, dispatching Ramsbottom United by 6-0. Quite emphatic there. You mentioned Blyth Spartans being the form team. I think that win there for Ashton United actually puts Ashton United back on top of the form league.
I think the only thing that's stopping Ashton United being on top of that the form table at the moment is their goal difference. So obviously the 5-2, which I personally think that's a massive shock. That I think obviously it could have gone either way, but I didn't think Workington would have put five past Ashton, especially with how they're playing at this moment in time. Obviously, both teams there really obviously level on points now. I don't think anyone was shocked about the Tuesday night game. I think it was more a shock that the game actually went ahead. But again, as we all know, mm-hmm. Ashton, they've only had one game called off in the last 10 years at home.
Never gets called off at Earth's Cross.
But the 6-0 there, nothing that's majorly fighting. I mean, obviously, I'm surprised that they've actually signed Adam Morning as well. He was a fantastic player in the First Division. You can see Ashton there strengthening up, ready to push forward.
Darlington, we mentioned Darlington there. Darlington are currently outside the playoffs. They're 4 points behind Workington. However, Darlington are in this fantastic position at the moment where they can't actually get a game played at home, unfortunately for them. And that means that they're clocking up the games in hand. At this point, James, I'm going to open it up to you and allow you to do cliche bingo and mention I'd rather have points on the board and that kind of thing. But Darlington, they didn't have a game in the past 7 days either. It's
pictures already for them. are looking like it's going to be Saturday, Tuesday. There's no way around it. We've got...
And we saw, we kind of saw that, didn't we, with Blythe last season. Yeah. It nearly worked, nearly. But there was just too many other sides around them who had the points on the board. But it's a challenge, isn't it, playing that number of games to the end of the season?
It is. And plus the fact Darlington, I believe, are still in the Dootson as well. So I think they've got a County Cup still to play. So you're going to see them playing Thursday nights sooner rather than later, I reckon, just to get games on. I mean, obviously, the league this week, I've been always looking at the fixtures and can see the Dootson very, very shortly being having a major look into because of what's going on clearly at this moment in time.
Is there a way, just playing, I mean, we can discuss this with league bigwigs whenever we come across them on the show in the coming months, but is there a way reformatting it? I mean, they did regionalise it, didn't they, a couple of seasons ago. Yeah. It might even be worthwhile making sure that it's a very top-heavy competition in a way that most of the games get played in August and September. Do you reckon that's possible?
I'd reckon the Dootson should be the first games of the season and having the... obviously, the teams have to play the preliminary round, play each other in the first round anyway.
Yes.
So having it like the week before the season starts as your first round. But like, it worked well with the League Cup a couple of years ago. Remember in the Olympic year where all the League Championship, League One and League Two sides played the week before the season and the crowds were actually better than what people were expecting. So that's possibly a good way forward. Yeah. But coming back to what we were saying about Darlington before, this, I reckon, could be where they could fall down this season.
Yes.
That don't, even though they've got the resources available, remember they shared the pitch with Bishop Auckland. So this could become a situation where it could be like Skelmersdale moving the game to the AJ Stadium in the FA Trophy, where they could be playing at different grounds.
Hey, don't jump ahead. We're mentioning that at the end. But it's an interesting one about the Dudeson. I think if you the Dudeson's a cracking competition because it's silverware. I'm going to start sounding like Swamper. It's silverware, and it's a realistic silverware, not like the FA Trophy. It's realistic that a team, if you put the effort in, you can win this. And it's a showpiece final at a big stadium, and it's well worth taking part. But when it comes down to this part of the season where matches get postponed, it is one of them things, I think, where it could be looked into and improved and actually enhanced. And that's one of the things. I mean, maybe early rounds earlier in the season and maybe even super regionalising it into some kind of weird, I don't know, NFL-style thing where there's the groups of four and they play each other once and that then reduces the number of fixtures. Yeah. And actually, if you have it all in August and September, the main bulk of the fixtures, then it becomes a bit more important because you're getting players up to speed and that kind of thing and fitness levels and not to use it as a pre-season, but you're throwing it in the mix as part of this is our season, this is how it's going to start. And I think it's worthwhile doing it that way. The other thing about the Dudeson is it's not necessarily the Dudeson's fault or the league's fault. It's the County Cups as well. There has to be a bit of a joint thinking going on because the County Cups, there was one incident, wasn't there, where Workington were forced to play a County Cup match. There has to be a better way of dealing with County Cups as well. More joined up thinking between the Dudeson and the County Cup and the league and I think that's, and I don't, dare I say it, winter football, maybe even a winter break. I've said it. But the problem with the winter break is, of course, last December was pretty mild from memory. And actually, the problem came in February. And the problem, there was a couple of seasons ago where December was a complete write-off. And January was the...
We managed it then, though. But
yes,
again, they had the Dootson really early on that year as well, if I remember rightly. Where they had like just the first division side before Christmas. It's, have it as the FA Cup style afterwards.
This chat's given me an idea anyway. It's been a good chat, James. I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. Anyway, back to league matters. Darlington, I'm sure you'll have a game soon. Just to say, Rush Olympic, we mentioned their win against Nantwich Town. They're now knocking on the door of the playoffs, so congratulations to them, proving Swampy right, which is never a good thing, but, you know, never mind. Buxton are currently in eighth position, 6 points from the playoffs, but they do have two games in hand over Workington. Buxton this past weekend didn't play, unfortunately, due to the weather. At this point, I'm going to go to the bottom end of the table, just to flip it on its head a bit. Ramsbottom United are now 6 points from safety, which is Skelmersdale United. They've had a bit of an iffy week. Well, an up and down week, I'm going to suggest. But I think that's what you can expect from a team at the bottom end of the table. We mentioned the Tuesday night match, Ashton United 6, Ramsbottom United 0. But it's actually been a good week for Ramsbottom because they're winning the games that matter, which are realistically achievable for 3 points. Grantham Town 0, Ramsbottom United 4. I say it's a realistic chance of winning. That is a very impressive away victory for Ramsbottom.
Yeah, a very, very good win there. And again, as you said, against the teams that where it matters at this moment in time. Because obviously the key games are going to be the ones against Micklover, Marine and Skelmersdale. They're the ones that could decide if teams are going to drop into that bottom four at this moment. But then you look a bit further up, you're going to have to look. I'm not going to say Ilkeston, but at the moment, the Frickleys, Hydes, Matlocks and Granthams, they're more or less safe because of games in hand. But they are the ones where teams can easily pick up 3 points or lose them instantly.
It's very difficult to understand the relegation pitch at the minute because if we look at Marine, they've only played 21 games. Compare that to Whitby Town, who are 2 points behind them. They've played 4 games more. If you compare it to Micklover Sports have played 3 games more than Whitby Town. So it's all over the place at the moment. Yeah. Stamford, they too had a game on Saturday. Only two teams had a game on Saturday in the bottom four due to the weather, but Stamford had one of those games. And despite the fact that they didn't get a win, I think they should be congratulated because they were 2-0 down in that match at home to Stourbridge and they pulled it back to 2-2 with an equaliser coming from Chris Hamilton on the 90th minute, proving this fight there in Stamford.
Yeah, I mean, the whole form as well is starting to improve. Yeah. There, for 18 months, it didn't seem like the Ezekiel Stadium was something where place where they should have moved to. But it's starting to pick up quite a little bit there and the away form's not necessarily the worst. Okay, they've still lost more games than anything else. Obviously, 4 wins away from home is always handy at the bottom end of the table.
And just to finish off these fixtures, there was a couple of games in mid-table land at this. I'm going to say it's mid-table land. Obviously, that can quickly change as Rush Olympic has proven and Buxton have proven of late. But at the moment, you're in mid-table land. That's official certified by the MPL show. Mid-table teams at the moment. Barwell 4, Ilkeston 0. An emphatic win that for Barwell. Barwell are a weird side. They get beat 4-0 and then they win 4-0. It's odd.
Yep. That's what I mean. You concede 11 in 2 games and then somehow get 4. Even then, when they're losing games, they're not exactly losing them massively. They're winning big, quite a few.
7-0. 7-0.
Exactly. They're still mid-table. In the form table, they're still mid-table at this moment in time as well. Looking at the home form. Home form is what's keeping them in that mid-table spot at the moment rather than down the bottom end. The last couple of games, 4 wins and 2 losses. So a massive, great opportunity there for them to ruffle a few feathers later on. A lot of people don't like, obviously we say it every year, not a lot of people like playing at Barwell because of what they can do. But again, they've got an opportunity there later on in the season just to throw a few feathers about.
And Sutton Coldfield Town 0, Hyde United 0.
Come on. I think Mr. Berkey will be happy with that. I don't know about that result. We'll have to ask him next time.
Steady. It's steady as she goes. And Hyde United's form of late has been, well, dreadful. And there's a glimmer of light there. It's obviously not easy going to Sutton Coldfield, 3G pitch. There you go, cliche, bell ringing there, 3G pitch and all that kind of thing. But it's a good result, that, for Hyde. Yeah.
This moment in time, I'm not knocking 3G pitches, that's to be honest. If anything, I can see a couple of teams asking Sutton for Goldfield to borrow the ground on a Tuesday, Wednesday and a Friday night.
Now, at this moment, Skelmersdale United, at time of recording this, it's 7:30 on Wednesday evening. At time of recording, Skelmersdale United are 15 minutes away from kicking off against AFC Fylde. Is it the AJ Bell Stadium? Is that what they're calling it nowadays? Ground in Barton. When we speak to Johnny Crowther in a minute, we can discuss it more because I'm speaking to Johnny Crowther on Thursday, so we'll know the results in that one. But a wise move that by all concerned, I think.
Yeah, I think coming to the league as a whole, they're actually playing very, very smartly in reversing fixtures. Ramsbottom, again, they've given them a lot of leeway because, again, the weather's not necessarily the best up in the Pennine Hills at this moment in time. Yeah, it's not going to be easy on the club finances, but, again, you've got to see common sense.
Just a quick mention, because you are obviously a Radcliffe Borough fan. You look on from afar. There's a big match in Division 1 North this weekend. Can't be understated enough. What's your feelings going into Warrington against Northwich Vicks?
It's going to be a very interesting game at one. This will decide if Vicks will win the division. If they win on Saturday and get a result against Glossop, they are uncatchable, in my opinion. I said this last time, they're the best team they played this year, but Warrington have shown them glimpses every now and again with some amazing results.
What's your gut feeling going into this?
I reckon it could be it'll be a draw personally.
Oh, get off the fence.
Honestly, because again, it's a bit... It'd be a high score. It was going to be a high scoring draw, I reckon.
Nil-nil.
Or a massive disappointing 1-0 2.
Nil-nil.
If anything, I can see. Yeah, there we go.
Well, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. How can people get involved with the MPL Facebook group and joining the great big banter fest that is the MPL Facebook group?
Facebook.com/groups/MPL or on Twitter @the MPL group.
Well, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
No worries, thank you.
So, enough about the past. It's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And magically, we've gone 24 hours in advance recording-wise. We're now recording this at midday on Thursday. And outside, it's not snowed this side of the Pennines, but I believe it's quite white on the other side of the Pennines, but more on that later. But to discuss the fixtures for this weekend, at time of recording, they're all going ahead. Touch wood, that's the case. We're now joined by Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio. Hello, Johnny, how are you?
Very well, Ben, yourself, sir?
I'm not too bad, mate. Shortly, we'll cover Nantwich Town, but I feel like we should start with the game of the day. I think everyone would agree with this. It's a bit of a local derby. It's form guide, top of the table stuff. It's two teams chasing not just the playoffs, but perhaps the title as well. It's Ashton United against Salford City. And I also predict as well, Johnny, knowing Hurst Cross as well as I do, this match, no matter what happens with the weather, is definitely on.
You're right, because you always hear about the pitch, don't you, being in great condition. The games always seem to go ahead at Hurst Cross. As you quite rightly say, Ben, this is going to be a cracker. Ashton United fourth, Salford City second. If there's TV cameras covering a game this weekend, you'd have to be at Hurst Cross, wouldn't you? Ashton United, they've just beat Ramsbottom United 6-0. They're in a rich vein of form. Top scorer Martin Pilkington, he's got 10 this season, flying well. And we know about Salford City. Bernard Morley was interviewed after the Barwell win, which they won 7-0. Yeah. He was interviewed and they said to him, "What are you expecting for the Ashton United game?" And his response, a war. And I think what he means by that is, I think, you know Bernard and Ant Johnson, the way they come across, but I think what he means is Ashton are flying. It's going to be tooth and nail, local derby, everything to go for. Salford's away record, unbelievable. 1-11, drawn 1, lost 1. What a record. What a record that is. Absolutely flying. That 7-0 Barwell result that I mentioned there. They've got James Poole as being their top scorer. Gaz Seddon back on form. It's going to be a cracker, mate. I tell you what, anybody out there thinking of going to a game at the weekend, get yourself to Hurst Cross. You'll see some great non-league football.
No, I'm secretly hoping my match, FC United against, who we're playing, Brackley's off. I'm secretly hoping so I can go up to Hurst Cross. I might just do that. But anyway, the way they're scoring goals is remarkable. I mean, you mentioned the 7-0 for Salford against Barwell. There's the 4-0, the last outing against Skelmersdale, which is no mean feat for Salford City. But Ashton United, top of the form guide at the minute. We'll ignore the Workington match because I think anyone could have won that. But 6-0 against Ramey and just the form going into it, it's going to be absolutely amazing, I think, as a spectacle. Top of the league, though, at the moment is Blyth Spartans, obviously. And Blyth Spartans this weekend, mentioned form guide, they're hosting Rushall Olympic. Touch wood, the match goes ahead. Graham Rush has been in touch to say, on glue pot of a pitch, will Blyth beat Rushall and hopefully inform Ashton get something off Salford? Assuming the match is on, Blyth Spartans against Rushall Olympic, I think is going to be a very interesting match, which I'm going to suggest could go either way.
I tend to agree with you. Blythe, top of the table. Robbie Dale on fire, absolute fire. 13 goals. Scored when they beat Hales Owen 1-0 recently. So they are in good shape. I think they're a quality outfit as well, Blythe Spines.
You've just seen them, haven't you? You saw Rushall against Nantwich. So it could go either way, really, I think.
Absolutely. Rushall are a very good team, Ben. Absolutely good team. We're just talking about that. Nantwich have got Blythe in a couple of weeks, but which is going to be a hell of a game. But I think Blythe will probably go on and win the league. They're a real quality outfit. But what a game in store. Rushall, as you rightly point out there, just beat Nantwich Town 1-0. They've got the league's top scorer, Ben, in Luke Bembo. He scored 18 goals this season. When you've got a striker like that, you know, you're always in with a shout, aren't you? And yeah, that could easily be a draw, that game.
Should we come to the Nantwich Town match now? Or should we come to it at the
end? Always happy to speak Nantwich Town, mate. You know that.
Now, Nantwich, at the moment, they're currently in third position. We'll cover the FA Trophy in a second, but just a quick mention for the league form. What do you reckon? It's kind of slipped back a bit recently.
Yeah, we started. You know the run we had in 2015, unbelievable. We scored 65 goals, more than any side, you know, in the league. League 1-4, I think, already this season, which is unbelievable. We've not started 2016 in the best run of form. Saying that, we played Salford City last Tuesday. Yeah. We drew with them 1-1, and we could have easily won that game. We were outstanding first half. We played Salford off the pitch, and Anthony Johnson, I had a word with him afterwards, the Salford manager, and he said the same thing. First half, Nantwich, you know, basically destroyed us. Second half, Salford came back into it. They're a quality outfit as well. So the results haven't gone so well. We got beat by Whitby, who were fighting for their lives, and we also got beat by Rushall. But you know what? I believe in Phil Parkinson. I believe in the management team there. I believe in the players. And I think it's just a blip. Maybe sometimes you need a blip. But I expect Nantwich Town to come out fighting. They've got an FA Trophy game against Bradford PA at the weekend, who are a team that you'll be aware of, Ben. They play in the same league as FC United. You know, and they're about 15th in that table at the moment. You know what? I don't see any reason why Nantwich can't go there and put in a performance and get a result. And that'll put them back on form. We've got Blythe Spartans on the 23rd, which is going to be one hell of a game, and I'm really looking forward to that. So, things are rosy in Nantwich Town. They've still got a very good squad. Everyone's, you know, scored a lot of goals, and yeah, it's just a bit of a blip, but they'll put it right. I've got no doubt about that at all.
Well, we played Bradford Park Avenue on the 2nd of January, actually, and we beat them.
Beat 1-0, didn't you?
2-1. 2-1. And we were 2-0 up at half-time and quite comfortable pretty much all the way through the second half as well. If you quick pass inside and attack inside and you just hold your line relatively high at the back, Bradford Park Avenue are quite beatable. That's my scouting report.
We'll see how we go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
I hope Phil Parkinson's listening in.
No, don't listen to me, Phil. Don't listen to me. That'd be a big mistake. We'll cover off the Braintree Town Stourbridge match also in a second or two. But just to go back to league matters, Workington had a cracking result in their last outing, beating Ashton United 5-2, as we said. And they've been on a very good run of late, apart from that blip against Colwyn Bay. This weekend, they're travelling to Grantham Town. Grantham Town, they had a decent December, I should say, but that 4-0 loss against Ramy might prey on their mind a bit now.
Yeah, I mean, you'd expect, wouldn't you? I mean, you know, if you look at the league tables again, Grantham down at 17th, Workington 5th, right in there in the playoffs. And another thing there is just looking at some of the stats on Workington as well, you know, beating Ashton 5-2, what a result that is in terms of Ashton's form, and Connor Tinian there scored a hat-trick. So, you know, you could say Workington are an informed side as well, but it's always, there's no easy games in this league, Ben. If it was a betting man, I'd put my money on Workington to go there and get a result, but who knows?
Now, we mentioned Blythe, we mentioned Salford, Nantwich, Ashton United, Workington. There is a big giant elephant in the room, and that's Darlington 1883 and their Bishop Auckland ground, where they can't quite get a match on at the moment. This weekend, they're away from home at Frickley. There's a good chance this match might be on. I said might be on, by the way, the listener at home. They have so many games in hand at the moment. 4 on Workington, 4 on Ashton, 7 on Nantwich Town. They're 4 points outside the playoffs at the moment. We can have a big discussion about whether you want points on the board or whether you'd want games in hand to get those points accumulated. But this weekend, Frickley away, not as easy as it might appear based on league table.
Totally agree. Although I would say, if I was a Darlington supporter, as you quite rightly said, they've only played 21 games. They're going to be fit. They're going to be hungry. They need to get back into those playoffs. They're just outside in sixth at the moment. And they're a good side. They're a really good side, Darlington. They beat Black Spartans, didn't they? 1-0 away. So that was a massive result. So I'd expect Darlington to go to Frickley. It won't be easy, but I'd expect Darlington to go there. They'll be fit, fresh, and I expect them to come away with 3 points.
6 points outside the playoffs at the moment is Buxton. Buxton this weekend are travelling to Marine. Buxton, they struggled a bit after the FA Cup exit. I believe that's due to mainly their main player being out. But they've slowly started to find a bit of form now. Ignoring the Ashton United defeat, they beat Nantwich, they beat Matlock, they've beaten Mickleover, and they've beaten Barwell, convincingly in some cases as well. So Buxton can't be discounted either in the playoff hunt.
No, absolutely. You just mentioned their key player being out. Is that Liam Hardy at all? Because he scored 18 goals for him. I don't know whether
yes, it was Liam Hardy.
Yeah, Liam Hardy. He's got 18 goals, I think, which is unbelievably brilliant. It's going to be tough. Marine themselves, they're down in 19th, but they've got one of their centre forwards, Daniel Mitchell. He scored 13 already this season. I think it's going to be tough. I'd go for a draw in that game, if I was honest.
Right.
I think there won't be a lot between those two sides, I don't think, Ben.
And Barwell as well. Barwell, they're in a similar position in Nantwich Town. They've played 27 games this season. They're currently sitting in 9th position. Barwell this weekend, they're travelling to Whitby Town. At this point, we're going to switch the table on its head and discuss the relegation picture at this moment. Whitby Town, you've seen them firsthand quite recently. There's fight in them, isn't there?
Yeah, I make no qualms about that. I've got a big soft spot for Whitby Town. I think when I've been up there in the league game where they drew with Nantwich earlier on in the season, you always get looked after at Whitby. Lovely club, really like the people up there, the media, the directors, great club. And as you quite rightly say, they had a great result away beating Nantwich Town. They've got a centre-forward called Michael Roberts. Now, this is just a personal opinion, but I think he's quality, real quality player. And I think if Whitby keep on to them, they'll stay up this season. That's my opinion. Whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's indifferent, that's what I'm saying. I really like Michael Roberts up front. Mikey Roberts and the number 10 plays alongside with him. I think with those two up front, they've always got a chance. Barwell, to be honest, Ben, if you think about it, they got beat 7-0 by Salford, but they're ninth in the league. So they're not a bad outfit. Not a bad outfit. So that's going to be a real tough game for both sides. I think Whitby are not the best defensively, and I think Barwell can cause them problems. If I was a betting man again, given Whitby's result against Nantwich, I think I'd go for Whitby to sneak that, maybe 1-0 or 2-1.
There's two fixtures which can in similar positions to Whitby where there's teams currently in the relegation zone playing teams who those teams would like to catch and drag into the relegation zone at the moment. Mickleover Sports, they're hosting Colwyn Bay, and Skelmersdale United, they're hosting Stamford. Both, I'm going to suggest, are relegation six-pointers.
Yeah, I have to agree. And when you look at that, you know, positions, Mickleover 18th, Colwyn Bay 22nd, and, you know, down there, what's the point? Saying that, there's 8 points between them, isn't there?
Three games in hand for Colwyn Bay, that's
the
point, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, great point, Ben. And it only takes one result. You go on a run, you have two good results, and you're out of there. I always think these are difficult games to call in terms of predicting results, and you know, I tend to, on predicting stuff like this around these results, I tend to go for a score draw because I just think both teams, you know, whilst it's so important for them to move out of the relegation spaces, you know, they want to pick something up and they'll all be fighting tooth and nail. So I see both those games being really tightly contested, and possibly both be a draw, but you know, what do I know at the end of the day?
I mean, we've been saying on this show now for over a month, maybe 2 months, that the team to watch if you're in the relegation zone is Mickleover Sports. Their form quite recently has been all right. I mean, they beat Barwell 4-2, drew 1-1 against Ilkeston. They also beat Whitby several matches ago. If you compare, though, to Skelmersdale United, who are playing Stamford, they've had a recent turnaround in form as well, drawing 2-0 with Stourbridge and showing a bit of fight coming from 2-0 down. Skelmersdale, though, they've been not winning at all in recent matches.
No, and that's it. And as you quite rightly say, as I kind of mentioned there before, you know, even Rami United have been showing a bit of fight, haven't they, recently? And that, you know, in that, which is great after all they've been through, which we can certainly talk about in a few minutes. But it's so tight down there. I'm a believer in that points in the bag are really important, because people. Players, key important players, can pick up injuries in these conditions. And Mickleover having 28 points in already behind them, I think that's important. I know Skem have got 5 games in hand, and you know, obviously if they won all 5 games in hand, they'd obviously go above Mickleover. But in reality, is that going to happen? I don't think so. And therefore, I feel Mickleover are the better placed at the moment, having being on 28 points.
And you just mentioned Ramsbottom United. Let's cover off Ramsbottom United. We'll ignore the 6-0 defeat at Ashton United. But this weekend, Rami are travelling to Matlock Town. Is that winnable? I'm not sure it is winnable, given where Matlock are at the moment. Matlock can blow hot and cold, but Rami can't beat Matlock, can they?
I think it is winnable. I think Ramsbottom at the moment, I'm just trying to look through my notes. They beat Granton Town 4-0 away. Yeah. What a result that was. I mean, out of the Ramsbottom are rock bottom, you know, and they go there and win 4-0. You know, if they show the fight that their fans and their local community have shown in getting that pitch back to, you know, the Waterlogue pitch and all the problems they've had there, I mean, I'd just like to say something on that, Ben, if I may.
I think the
non-league community, it brings a tear to my eye. It's been absolutely phenomenal. You know, certain Coldfield Ultras going up there and helping out. Fans from all clubs going up and making sure all the clubs are having buckets around and collecting money for Ramsbottom United. You know what? Non-league football, it's a dream to be involved with, isn't it? It's just real people, real grassroots football. I love it. Absolutely love it. And I honestly, coming back to the football, I think Ramsbottom United, they believe they can go and beat anyone at the moment. So, I think they've got a great chance.
And the prize is now pretty clear as well. I mean, even a couple of weeks ago, it was looking a bit bleak for them. But now they're only 6 points from safety. Rami really making a fist of it this season. And it's good to see. It makes the relegation picture really unpredictable. And long may that continue. This weekend, if we just mention a couple of the matches in kind of mid-table world. Ilkeston, they're playing Halesowe in town. Any thoughts on that one?
I mean, 13th against 10th I've got here on my notes. So again, always close. Halesowe in... They only lost to Blair, didn't they? 1-0 at home. I know they've lost the game, but Blair have got, you know, the likes of Robbie Dale and the scoring for fun. Not a bad result. So I'd go for a score draw there.
And finally, Hyde United, they're hosting Sutton Coldfield Town. I'm going to suggest Sutton Coldfield Town in January. They feel like they've had a really, really good season. Hyde United, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you at Hyde United recently, at Nantwich, and they've got some good players, and they've got some prolific. They've got prolific goal scoring, Scott Spencer, who scored 16 goals. I worry about them a little bit defensively, and as you say, with Sutton Coldfield being in a run of form, difficult one to call that one. What'd you say? I keep saying score draws here, don't I? I've got to make a commitment. I just think Hyde at home, you know, with the front line they've got, and they can score. There's no doubt about it, they can score goals. I think I'd go for one apiece again with that game. I think it's going to be tight.
Just a big disclaimer on these fixtures. Obviously, they all kick off at 3 o'clock, but please do check the MPL Facebook group or the league Twitter feed before setting off on Saturday, just to make sure that these matches are on. And lastly, on Saturday, FA Trophy second round. We mentioned Bradford Park Avenue against Nantwich Town, which I personally think Nantwich have got in the bag. Braintree Town of the National League, they're hosting Stourbridge, Giant Killers Stourbridge.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, Stourbridge, you know, I said I had a soft spot for Whitby. I've got a soft spot for a lot of clubs, mate. I'm from Salford, so Salford's obviously my hometown club. I'll always have a soft spot for them. And obviously, covering Nantwich as I do, love Whitby Town. But Stourbridge, I'm a real big fan of theirs as well. I think the club's run really well. I think they've had a fantastic run in the cup competitions this season. And they've got some real quality. I think they're a really well-organised outfit. They're a very fit squad. They're a very strong squad. I like everything to do with that club. I really do. And I hope Stourbridge can go and get a result there.
And we should mention at this point, we mentioned in the James Hayes interview, we didn't know the result. We do know the result now. Big commiserations to Skelmersdale United against AFC Fylde by 4-0. That fixture was just, it never got started, did it, in more ways than one.
I remember you, obviously I'm listening to the podcast when I'm not involved, and I listen to them on a regular basis, and some of the conversations between you and James about that fixture were hilarious really, because it just kept going and going. It was like, is it going to be played? Is it on? Is it off? And like you say, unfortunately, they've gone down at the end of the day. But I suppose they've got a game out of the game, that game out now, and they can concentrate on the league fixtures, Ben.
Absolutely. And on that note, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio, where are you going to be this weekend? Or is that a silly question?
Yeah, well, Ben, to be fair, I mean, I cover Nantwich Town as much as I can. But having a young family, I don't always go to a lot of the away games. So one of the other lads is covering the Bradford Park Avenue game. I'll hope to be at the Blyth Spartans game the week after. So what I'll be doing is I'll be keeping a real look on the overall league table, because there's so many great fixtures to go to. You know, really, if I had the time, I'd be at Ashton United Salford, and make no mistake about that, because that's going to be a belter.
And where can people listen to the Nantwich Town FA Trophy match?
Cover it on MixLR. We've been using MixLR. If you go onto that and type in Nantwich Town, you'll get a link to the club, and Murray Watson will be commentating on that game live from Bradford, PA at the weekend. So have a listen. We're getting really good listeners numbers at the moment. We had great numbers for the Salford City game, which is great to hear. So yeah, Redshift Radio, and then link into the MixLR link that's on the website. That'd be great if you could.
Well, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio and Non-League Live, of course. Thank you for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. Job well done, I thought.
Thanks, Ben.
And now for your correspondence. Gordon Bernie Williams has said, from Division 1 North, a game would be nice. 6 out of the last 8 games postponed for Clitheroe, they're hopefully hosting Brighouse this weekend. From a Division 1 South perspective, Jim O'Driscoll, expecting 3 points if our game goes ahead. Come on, Rugby Town, keep the winning run going against Gresley. Meanwhile, in the FA Trophy, Richard Clark has been in touch to say Stour are away at Braintree Town in the FA Trophy. A bonus game, really. Not expecting anything, but who knows? It looks like it might be off. Disclaimer, please do check the league website or your club's Twitter feed before setting off on Saturday. Don't listen to me or Richard. Back to league matters now, and Steve Hobson has been in touch to say a massive game at Hurst Cross. Ashton United having won the last 6 home matches, and Salford having picked up 11 wins on the road. Results could have a massive say in the end of the season mix. Not to be missed, for sure. Peter Bibbings, hopefully the Hyde game will be on. If not, it would be good to know before buying the train tickets. Indeed. Rob Lloyd, Hills Owen face a tricky trip to Ilson. Hard to predict the outcome of this, but would be chuffed with a point away from home. While Joyce has been in touch today, looking forward to the trip to Marine. Thanks to the League Management Committee, you've done something decent by switching this match. Come on the books. 3 points needed after the awful display at Ashton the other Saturday. And then he goes on to say, now then, league management committee, the big one you need to switch is the footballs. Oh, come on, Joyce. And lastly, but not leastly, in this week's Wall of Correspondence, Ian Burke of Radio Manchester and 26NIL has been in touch to say, I reckon it'll be Hyde P, Sutton Coldfield Town P. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussion, chatter, banter and all that on the Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this week's show. A big good luck to both our sides in FA Trophy action this weekend, and a huge thanks to all my guests for joining me this week. But for this week's edition, I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.